Jeff show.
Which one's Mutt? Which
yeah,
one's
we
Jeff?
Haven't figured out who's Mutt yet. So it's the Mutt and Jeff show. And I don't know. We could probably take a poll later to see who is Mutt or who is Jeff. But the goal today...
I hate to tell you, a lot of these people don't even know who Mutt and Jeff is.
I know. That's the issue. But a few of them do. So the goal today is to get into family development, right? Now, the title was really kind of a struggle because it's not child development. It's not marriage enrichment, and it's family development, and that includes all of what I just said. It includes marriage enrichment, it includes communication skills within families with little kids or with families whose children are 35 years old, because we never stop participating in development, regardless of how old our children are. It includes, obviously, grandkids, nieces, nephews. It includes the church family that gathers here Sunday morning and Sunday evening. It's your family development. It's really transportable for workplace as well. Because at our workplaces, whether it's working in a gas station or working at a factory, the principles are transportable. These are biblical principles. Either God is or he isn't. Either he's in all things or he's in nothing. So we're going to jump into this idea of family development. And family development has this interesting...
You have to sing that first.
I can't sing. And my kids don't let me sing in public anymore. So unless I'm like worshiping with somebody. Jason can sing. He can come up and sing this. But yeah, so you got these little handouts. So we're going to go through these handouts as well. These will be for the next 3 weeks.
Did everybody get one?
If not, we're raffling them off. They're $1,000 a piece. All payable to the Woodburn Christian Children's. So if anybody needs one yet, just go ahead and get your checkbook out. So family development. Now, Woodburn Christian Children's Home, family development is all across the board of your relational landscape. And I don't know, who was at Grable Days this last couple of days? Yes. I mean, did you know Jeff Hostetler was buying banana splits for everybody? Did anybody know that? Only one person? Yes, you knew that. Yes, he knew that. But nobody else knew that Jeff was buying and split. So when you see him at the DeKalb County Fair, make sure you ask Jeff to buy you your banana split. So I love fairs. My family loves fairs. We go to them all the time as much as we can. I heard whatever you eat at the fair stays at the fair. So, I mean, it's free food as far as what I eat. But when I was thinking about fairs, especially driving home from Grable, you know, all those families together, I was thinking about fairs and how they have a similar relationship to family. There are some things that families and fairs or carnival rides have in common. So we're gonna have Chuck a Duck Night at the Harlan Church of Christ. So I'm gonna chuck a duck at you. If I hit you in the forehead, my name's Hal Rogers. Okay, so yes. So tell me, with those big brains out there that's fully wide awake from dinner, tell me, what characteristic does a family have in common with a carnival ride like a merry-go-round or a roller coaster? What's that? It's a good chance to break. Okay, I'm going to look this at your forehead. Ooh, see?
Whoa!
He just made you look old. Really, sorry. That's just, well done. Thank you. That's perfect. So, yeah. So
we're getting a lot.
I know
we're getting a lot of feedback up here.
My head's pounding. I'm not sure. They both can easily break. One of the things that I know for me that caught my attention is for every carnival ride you have to pay to get on. For every family you have to pay to participate. We don't call them expenses; we call them investments. But really, families are similar. What's another? Tell me over here. What's something in common? Go ahead, Josh. Oh, there you go, baby. Okay. I was at Stroh Church of Christ whipping these things 50 yards. So here we go. Oh, see? Yeah, very well done. That was my throw, not his catcher clapping. Yeah, so, right. Sometimes you just have to hang on because it never stands still. Family development never stands still. They neither do the fair ride. What's one more right in the middle over here? Tell me something. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you have to deal with the carnies. Well done, George. Good, yes. Yes, yes. Also, I was thinking that the memories outlast the ride.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good... And another big thing, of course, is laughter. Laughter just makes the whole experience better. Sometimes we take ourselves way too seriously in family experiences. And
you know, family life is like an adventure to be experienced.
Yes.
You know, it's not a task to be completed. There's a phrase that says, family life is an adventure to be experienced and not a task to be completed. You don't take anything away tonight, take that with you. And what's that mean? It encourages a shift in the mindset away from viewing family responsibilities such as training children up, managing a household, or caring for relatives as a serious chore, but to be checked off. We don't want that. We don't want a serious chore just to be checked off. We want to be able to embrace the unexpected. Accept the family life as it often is messy, unpredictable, and full of surprises. Second, seek joy in the everyday. You know, we don't have to have exotic vacations to make family memories. It's just the day-to-day moments that can grow a family. And prioritize relationships over perfection. Focusing on nurturing bonds and making memories rather than striving for an unattainable ideal of that perfect family. You know, families are like roller coasters.
Yes.
They have their ups and downs and ups and downs. But you can only manage that ride by, you know what? Intentional communication.
It's all about communication. It really kind of boils. That's it. Go to the next slide, Doug, please. It's all about communication. This week, we're zooming into communication. And again, these principles are transportable. They're transportable across the different places your life finds itself, the different relationships. And these communication principles, they're all based on a view of family. And if you go to that next slide, you know, we believe that family has some core biblical truths associated with it. Certainly we know that families, the members of families, are fundamentally different. My wife and I have four children. We can't believe these four kids are associated with us. They were so different as youngsters. They were so different as teenagers. And now they're in their 20s and early 30s, and they're so. I mean, can anybody identify with the fact that your children are characteristically different? Yes. Our family, we have our oldest son's a police officer. The next one is a stay-at-home mom. Then we have an electrician, and the lowest one, not the lowest one. they're probably watching this. We have an artist in the middle. And so these kids are fundamentally different, but they're bound together in identity. And not everybody in our family has the same last name. We are a blended family. Fundamentally different, yet bound together through identity. And in our case, it's that identity in Christ. Because God forms our families into a body. Like if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're reminded of this idea that the church is the body of Christ. And each member in the church has different characteristics to it. And so the biblical reminder is that we are fundamentally different yet bound together. And the Bible uses the body as a metaphor. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 12:12, for just as the body is one, yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one, so also is Christ. So we have this application, of course, first and foremost, for the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. But it's also transportable to the family, fundamentally different, yet bound together. And he goes, we go on to read, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink one spirit. For the body is not one part, but many. And then he goes on to talk about some of the characteristics of the problems we have within the body. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, or it is not there for that reason, less any part of the body. Or, and if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason, unless a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the healing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? So we're fundamentally different in our families, in our churches, in our workplaces, but we're bound here at the church through our common faith. In our homes, we're bound through our identity and our common faith. And we leverage that. We leverage that in our communication. So fundamentally different, yet bound. And then, of course, we know for a fact that...
You know, the characteristic, another characteristic was designed...
Yes.
By whom?
I didn't make myself.
That's right. That was God.
Yes.
God designed it. And let's turn, if you all have your Bible, turn to Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, and I'll read it. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, get this, in hate. No, I mean in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Can I hear an amen? Wow. That is a powerful passage. And you know... And by that, God has given us really the blueprint.
Yes.
On how to live in a family.
Right. And these are the foundational characteristics really for the whole 3-week workshop. Now, communication. When we get right into communication, we know there are certain things that influence communication. One of the things is conflict. And it's interesting watching families interact with conflict. We see it at the Grable days. When one kid gets something the other kid wants. We're going to show a quick video, 60-second video. And there's going to be 3 scenes in the video. And in these 3 scenes, you're going to see a different conflict presented. And then you're going to see how they resolve the conflict. It's a quick video. But check out this video. So we show that goofy video for a couple of reasons. I mean, I love the crabs. They kind of do the whole rally the troops and protect themselves. And sometimes we see kids doing that. They form a circle and protect themselves. I love the ant. Someone's getting sucked in, and someone's always a whistleblower. And did anybody think the ant with the 6 arms looked like Hal? I mean, just kind of like going like this, and everybody's kind of, you know, the orchestrator of all the chaos. I mean, that just reminds me of you every time. And then of course, the last one with the penguin.
What are you laughing about?
The penguins, I don't know if you caught the face, the facial expression of the penguin. Just chill. There's a shark going to eat us. We're just going to be chill. And we're just going to move to the other side and prevent. But communication. Yeah, that video shows communication in 3 different conflicting situations.
You know, it When I say that, it reminds me of a trampoline.
Yes.
You know, and the, how many of you bounced on a trampoline? Almost, probably all of us have. And, you know, and I remember as an adult, I would take my kids up on a trampoline. And, you know, they would kind of, when they were younger, before they got used to it, they would crawl, you know, until you got to them. And then you'd hold their hands and you would bounce them. And you get a little higher and higher. And they trusted you. They trusted you. And then for long, they let go. And you let go and you'd bounce each other. And you know, they weren't very old yet. But they would, you know, you'd have fun. And then what happens was when they became a teenager, they thought it'd be smart to send Dad on the trampoline and really high. And you got up there and go, "Aah!" And you come down and hit. And they'd send you again. And, you know, and then finally, you'd be the one crawling off the trampoline. Yeah. And that's family.
Yes.
Working together, forming a bond. And as the kids get older,
yes,
they build that identity. And they take on who? The identity of their parents.
Yes, exactly. And so I love that video because it reminds me that there's going to be threats. And it reminds me that we need to stay connected to each other. And we need to intentionally communicate despite the mess. Mm-hmm. And now we have to recognize that when a young couple comes together and is journeying through premarital counseling and the courting process, recognizing there's two very different people joining together. We also know when babies are added to families, there's a shift that occurs with every new baby. With every child that graduates high school and moves on to that next phase of life, the whole family dynamic changes as each child becomes an adult child. And then as the adult child starts to have their own relationships and their own families, everything is shifting. So with all of that shift and with all of that built-in differences, it influences communication. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on these influencers of communication, but if you go to that next slide, you'll see that there's a list there. The shape of a person influences their communication. The shape is an acronym. We're going to kind of drill into that pretty hard in the third week, but it's just an acronym. And we've talked about this acronym before. The S is for your spiritual gifts. The H is your passion or your heart. The A is your abilities. The P is your personality. And the E is your experiences. And so each child, each mom and dad, each uncle, each grandparent has a different shape. And and that shape influences how we communicate. A person's passion influences how they hear. Their experiences influence how they hear. Their personality, for sure. If a person is task-focused, they hear through tasks. If a person is relationally focused, they hear through relationships. So it influences. So when you're working with people, factory, stores, wherever, and you, one of the things to do is to kind of take a second and think about the person, the people on the ministry teams you serve. So who are these people? What is their shape? It's one of those reflecting moments. And corporate America does this all the time because culture flows from communication. And as the culture is developed, the communication is developed. So, yeah, shape is a huge one.
And then you have the what's called the birth order.
Yes.
You know, I'm not certain. Yeah, you got it up there.
But, yeah.
You know, I'm not certain it's a real scientific. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I'm, there's been people doing studies on it. But the one is the eldest. How many here is the oldest in their family?
But I'm not really the oldest. I just tell my sister I am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you lie.
She needs to listen to me.
So you lie. You're lying.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I lie.
You know, an eldest usually may have it his way or her way. They're usually helpful. You know, the middle one. Who's here the middle child? Okay. Okay.
I can't see you. I always overlook the middle kids. Are you here?
Yeah.
Bruce, are you actually here?
Oh.
Sorry. I just,
yes,
just overlooked the middle kids. Sorry.
Yes, they're overlooked. Could you, as a middle kid, was you overlooked? Would you,
they get in more trouble
independent,
without getting caught.
Independent. You know, and then there's the youngest. Who's the youngest here?
Oh, my.
Wow.
Wow.
They bend the rules.
Wow. I had this sense that the Harlan Church of Christ was a bit immature, so that makes a lot of sense.
Oh.
Sorry, my love language is sarcasm and ridicule. Oh. So if I'm just...
And then there might be the only child.
Yes.
You know, and they usually have a little resistance built into them. Now, like me, I'm the youngest, but I'm really also the eldest. I don't know if that makes any sense. My sister is, 11 years older than I am. Yeah. So there's such a gap. So you can just say I was all of them when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
It does change. And, of course, sitting in the deacon meetings, there's a whole lineup of eldest, youngest, and middle kids. And certainly in the deacon meetings, the middle kids may not feel like they're being heard. The oldest kid wants to be heard and is used to being heard first, and the youngest is used to getting their way. Because most of the time, the youngest gets their way because the parents have learned, well, I guess it isn't that important. You know, my wife and I had four children. Our youngest got away with a lot more than the oldest one did. But birth order really does influence board meetings. Mm-hmm. It influences Sunday school classrooms. Who's dominating the conversation in the Sunday school classroom could reflect the birth order. But all we're saying is it influences communication. It's good to keep it in mind. What is their shape? What is their birth order? Certainly.
And then emotional processing. Okay. You want to put up the
board
for me?
Yes.
Emotional processing. What is it? It's a process means to identify, understand, and accept and deal with your feelings in a healthy and productive way. And so you aren't stuck in that negativity loop all the time. You know, sometimes it seems like, you know, if we start getting down, we're just negative over and over. And that's what your emotional process. It incorporates an emotional set point. If you want to, are you a good drawer or no?
No. But I will draw a roller coaster.
I don't want a roller coaster.
And then we'll draw one of those.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever that is.
That's a line.
Yeah, that's a line. And so, you know, where is your emotional set point?
Right.
Is it?
Like if this is the boiling over point. Yes.
Where is it? Is it right here? Or is it way down here? And so wherever that boiling point is, when, say, Dave, an elder comes to you and says, I need this done now. If your boiling point is really high, you're going to get upset with him. So it's really up to not only you, but also up to the person that's talking to you to realize, well, you know, maybe Dave's had a rough day today. Maybe I should come to him asking if he can do that instead of saying, I want you to get this done now. Now, if you're way down here, you're going, okay, whatever, and I'll do it. But you see what I'm saying? Where is that set point at? The kids at the children's home, when they come to us, a lot of them are way up here. And it doesn't take much for them to go over that line and lose it fast. So we have to understand when we address those kids, we're addressing them in a way that it doesn't ignite them. Same with teaching. Your students in your classroom, you don't know. Maybe your child that morning that's in your classroom, maybe mom yelled at him and got mad at him and screamed at him, and that child's boiling point is way high, and then you say something to them and they erupt. You know, where is that emotional set point?
That's why we draw a roller coaster, because it changes time of day, day of the week, week of the month, month of the year. Some people are early birds, some people are night owls. My wife is a night owl, I'm an early bird. We don't talk about money in the morning for her sake and at night for my sake. We look for the sweet spot. And so recognizing where people are, and you folks, especially in your families, you can tell by the posture. When our girls would come off of the school bus and walk up Ewo Street in Auburn, I could tell by how they walked where they were on the roller coaster. And I could tell for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, I made it a point to pay attention to them. I secondly made a point to be home when I got off the bus 2 days a week. And I was intentional about understanding where they were emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that's important for us to do that. We're fundamentally different, but we're bound together. Yeah. And so we have this emotional, we also have communication styles. My wife was really good at this. She knew how to communicate with each one of our children. She knew the oldest one did better by writing. They wrote in a notebook to each other as teenagers. She knew the middle children, especially our artist daughter, she knew that she would communicate with her through images. And then with our youngest, she knew that Joey did best when she couldn't play basketball to save her life, but she would try to shoot hoops with him because that was his communication style. He wasn't good toe-to-toe. For me, a lot of times, we would go for walks or we'd go fishing, we'd go for a ride in the car at the windshield time. Some 35-year-old kids don't do well toe-to-toe. They do better walking along the path. And that's why when at the children's home, we built that sidewalk between the two sides, because there's a lot that happens when we walk down the path with kids. And that's the goal, is to understand their communication style. Is it writing? Is it listening? Is it videos? Is it a notebook? Is it letters? I wrote all of my kids' letters when they turned 18 and above. Joey went to the Army. I wrote him letters in the Army. Katie went to college. I wrote her letters in college. Victoria went to college. I wrote her letters. Kendall was in the Army. Now he's a police officer. I still write them letters because I know, for me personally, I communicate better in a letter.
Yeah. So, but you know, one way you shouldn't communicate, and we need to point that out, is texting.
Yes. Yes. Because there's something to be said about pen to paper that helps us process from both sides of the brain. Texting, even with all the emojis they come up with, still doesn't communicate the emotional state of the person. Texting is an outworking of email, which is an outworking of data transfer. I was part of those design teams in the early 90s. Email and texting was only ever meant for data transfer from one location to the other. It was never meant for human communication,
right?
Data movement. So my kids, they can text me, I'm going to be 10 minutes late for family dinner, but that's about all we get on it. If I feel the conversation is going towards a sensitive subject, I immediately call them on the phone. I want to hear their voice. And I want to see their eyes, preferably in person. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Another one is communication building blocks.
Yes.
You know, and what's that mean? You know, God's truth is the root of all communication. It doesn't change. God's truth is truth. It never changes. So we need to continue to remind our family, God has a plan. God has a purpose for our family. For each and every one of our families, God has a purpose. And sometimes that purpose may take several years to transpose into what God has planned for it. But we all have to remember that the main purpose is eternal life with Jesus Christ after we're gone. And the only way our family is going to achieve that is by communicating God's word. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transcendent, but the things that are unseen and are eternal. I'm losing my voice.
Well, that's fine. And these communication principles are all for one purpose. If you go to that next slide, that one purpose, is that one more slide?
Thanks, Doug. I know we're jumping around.
So this is a perfect illustration of what happens when we use technology to communicate. Someone's not getting it. But that next slide is the whole goal of communication. Seeking to understand than to be understood. So if I'm communicating with Rick, and my whole point of talking to Rick is to understand where he's coming from, and if Rick's whole point in talking with me is to understand where I'm coming from, we're both seeking to understand each other. It's amazing how well we communicate. too often I communicate just because I want to be heard. And they're finishing their sentence while I'm already formulating what I'm going to say in response. And so it's that James talks a lot about this. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak. And so the challenge is to seek to understand and to be understood. And like if you go to that next slide, these communication principles, we're rooted in God's truth. And then one of the things that Hal has been really good at, I've learned a lot from Hal, I've just learned a lot about intentional listening. Believe it or not, Hal can listen. Carol? She's not getting that. She's like, you can listen.
What'd you say?
He couldn't pass up that one. Yes, intentional listening is key for the goal of communicating. And so often we find ourselves wandering from the listening place. I know with my kids and my wife, the folks we serve with at the children's home, we spend a lot of time asking questions back to make sure that we understood what was said in the first place. Reflective questioning. Yeah.
You know, I believe that listening is so important. If you guys remember family camp, I talked about it. Listening is love. Listening is knowing.
Oh, yes.
And I think, and listening is learning. And I think that is so important. How can we know what your spouse wants? How can we know what your children want if we don't listen? And if we're not listening to them, how do we know? How are we showing that they're loved?
Right.
It really is. Listening is so important.
Our house parents, they're such a treasure to us because one of the things they do well, amongst all the other things, is they listen. Whether it's around the dining table, and sometimes we're not listening to words. We're listening to the body language, to the tone, how quickly they're talking or how slowly they're talking, or if it's kind of sporadic talking. There's a whole phenomenon of listening. And I spend a lot of time, like I said, doing reflective questioning or clarifying decisions. I had these two teenage daughters. They would bring something to me at Kohl's and say, "Daddy, did you like this?" I said, "Yeah, that looks real pretty." You know what they heard? "Buy it." I didn't say buy it. I said I liked the way it looked. So I had to clean up my definition. I would not say I like it. I said that's an interesting one. Because if I said I liked it, then they bought it. And so it's just about definitions and rallying on definitions. You know how the English language changes. But 50 years ago, if I told you I went to a gay party on Saturday night, you'd be like, "Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun, right? You had a fun party you went to." Nowadays, if I tell you I went to a gay party last night, you'd have a totally different view of what I was doing last night. And that's important for us to recognize that the definitions, and Jeff Bush did a great job on this, At Hillsborough this year, he did a rap song all about the different definitions that our young folks use, and that we think we know what they're talking about. And so it's important to clarify definitions, like this simple stuff, like, "So what did you mean by that exactly?" And they help us play it out. So I don't know how much further we should go.
I think we ought to be wrapping it up.
Yeah, we'll stop at the triangle. So maybe like avoid monologues, kind of like, "Oh my goodness, I have seen some parents just drill and drill and drill into a particular item." I was told I got 2 minutes with a teenager. For an adult child, if I'm not invited into the conversation, I'm not in the conversation. That's a tough thing to coach our adult children when we're so used to parenting our adult children. But it's a huge transition from high school age to college age. And so recognizing that I need to be invited in, and I need to get to the point with my conversations. And I also, like we mentioned before, looking for patterns. There are certain times of the day, days of the week, weeks of the month, months of the year, that I find better to communicate with certain people. And it's my responsibility to know the best time to communicate with them. And that's true for employees or employers. It's not just church relations. This is just human relationships in general. And as we learn to communicate better with the people we work with, we find ourselves inside and therefore dropping seeds of the gospel on the way in. So communication. Next time we get together, we're going to use Mary and Martha, Luke chapter 10, as a way of stepping into conflict. Because we're going to talk about conflict management next time.
Yeah, you know, the it's hard, if you have not accepted Christ, it's hard to understand some of what we're talking about. Because a home has to be Christ-centered. And we didn't get into the triangles, but God has to be up here. You know, and we're down here. And if you haven't experienced that and want to experience that salvation that Christ can give, just not for you, but maybe for your family, the freedom to be able to enjoy your family in a way that Christ enjoys His family. That's the church. And so tonight would be a great time for you to accept Christ, do it for your family, do it for yourself, so they can, and lead your family in a way that they know that they should live, and that's through the salvation of Jesus Christ into the waters that is up here waiting for you to be immersed. So if they come, come on forward, and we encourage you to make today the day that you have salvation. I'm sorry about my voice.